Let's get to our guest, Abhilash Narayan, who is a senior investment strategist at Standard Chartered Wealth Management. So if people are wondering about the strength of the global economy, there are a few measures you can cite that say the U.S. is kind of hanging in there. That's one of the reasons why we've seen this nice bounce of late. On China, well, Bloomberg did a survey of more than a dozen factory managers and analysts looking at buy orders coming in. And these factory managers said that the orders are drying up in China. That would seem to suggest that there's trouble ahead. What are you seeing with general movement in the global economy here, Narayan?
Hi, good to be here. No, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the global economic outlook, we've obviously seen US go into a technical recession. We've seen the growth expectations in Europe come down sharply since the start of Russia-Ukraine conflict. So clearly, some of the big export markets that China has are facing a growth slowdown. I think the other thing to add to the picture is also the inventories. So what we saw last year and in early part of this year was that a lot of US and European companies ordered a lot of inventories because they wanted to, you know, go around the supply chain bottlenecks that we were seeing a few months back. So if you look at the inventories that are being reported, they are at close to record highs. So, you know, we think that the slowdown in orders is also a function of some of these inventories being drawn down. So overall, I think the picture is clear that there are clear concerns to global growth. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, a couple of months back, we downgraded global equities to a neutral stance, you know, the recent rally notwithstanding.
Mm. We are, though, seeing some optimism coming back. The S&P 500 has been up for each of the past 4 weeks. We had a pretty good rally in Asian equities, too, at the end of last week. In terms of whether or not we're going to continue to see further upside for the remainder of the year, what drives that if we do still have a lot of these concerns about global growth?
Well, I think there are three key factors that we're looking at when we think about equities, right? So one is obviously global growth, as we have talked about it. The second is the picture for inflation. So clearly, in the past month's data, we have seen tentative signs of inflation sort of softening or maybe peaking in the US. And if that continues, then that will be something that does, at the margin, increase markets' expectations that central banks may not hike as much as expected. But clearly, as we have seen in the past 2 years, inflation keeps surprising to the upside. So I'm not hanging my hat to that. And I think that the third key factor to look at is corporate earnings and margins. Specifically, now we have started to see signs of wage inflation in US running at 5%, and if we do see a potential sort of stress on the margins, then that could be something that does act as a drag on the markets overall. Yeah. Now for the Q2, the earnings were quite good, but you know that's something to watch out for.
Just quickly on the data dump coming in China, Abhilash, are you expecting a positive surprise or maybe a negative?
Well, we are expecting a modest improvement in retail sales and industrial production. Obviously, we have seen PBOC sound a bit more hawkish last week after the inflation data came in. And that's been one of the reasons why, you know, Asia and Japan equities have lagged global equities in the rally last week. So we think that if we do see some signs of recovery in Chinese growth, given that we think that impact of COVID lockdowns has been limited.
Wanting to get some of your conviction calls, as you rightly point out, the sell-off that we've seen in bonds and equities has only happened four times since 1870, or the 1870s, I should say. What does that mean for the 60-40 portfolio that many are claiming could be potentially dead now?
Well, I think this has been a debate in the markets for the last couple of years, especially with bond yields being so low, and that had forced investors to take on more risk in form of more equity exposure. But as you rightly pointed out, I mean, this is only the fourth instance since 1870s that both equities and bonds have declined year to date. And what we've seen is that bond yields across most of the markets, whether it's government bonds, whether it's investment grade or high yield corporate bonds, are close to their past decade highs. And that has made bonds a lot more attractive. So we think that over the next year or so, a 60-40 portfolio, or more broadly, a diversified allocation is our favorite strategy. And we, at the margin, we prefer allocating more to bonds at the expense of equities, given the current valuations.
I don't know about you, but I keep going back and forth. When I look at the improvement in the credit markets and what the stock market has done over the past 6 or 7 weeks, I feel as though, yeah, there's some wisdom there looking out beyond, whatever. And then I look at the bond market and the inversion of the yield curve, and I start getting depressed again. Is there anything I can drink or drink in to fix my confusion?
Well, clearly, I mean, if you look at the equity market and the corporate bond markets, obviously we've seen a big decline in credit spreads, especially in U.S. high yield market. And if I look at it, right, it boils down to your expectation of default rates. So if you expect the growth slowdown to be moderate, you don't expect default rates to spike to 8-10%. Then if you have that view, then clearly the markets have priced in an adequate amount of risk as far as defaults are concerned. But clearly the value in U.S. high yield is starting to look a bit stretched. But our favored market right now in bonds is Asian dollar bonds, where we think that the valuations are quite compelling. And while we hear a lot of noise about China high yield property, sometimes it's worth remembering the fact that at a headline level, 83% of the bonds there are, you know, investment grade. And we think that given that China and India are on a much more firm footing from an economic perspective, there is room for credit spreads in Asian dollar bonds to compress going forward.
All right, so we've talked quite a lot of the risks, and we know that excessive policy tightening by central banks is among them too. But what about what we're seeing in terms of the US-China relationship over Taiwan and the ongoing Russia-Ukraine conflict too? How much is that kind of weighing into your thinking in terms of allocating risk?
Absolutely. It is a big risk. And I think when we think about Russia-Ukraine tensions, that's clearly been weighing on European equities. And that's why earlier in the year, we downgraded European equities to a neutral from an overweight stance earlier. And it's difficult to call out, you know, how those things will play out. When we shift focus to US-China tensions, I mean, there were a couple of headlines over the weekend. So we saw a new congressional delegation going to Taiwan. So that's bound to keep the tensions high. And we've seen, five SOEs, Chinese SOEs, announcing that they are planning to delist from US exchanges. Now, from a market perspective, this is nothing new. We've seen other SOEs such as SMIC, CNOC, et cetera, already delist from US exchanges. But, you know, in the near term, the elevated tensions could mean that they act as a headwind for Chinese equities specifically. But from a 12-month perspective, we've realized that geopolitics really impacts the market in a material way. So we would use the current lagging of Asian markets as an opportunity to add exposure there.
On commodities, we had a nice sort of falling trend, which helped us with the inflation worries. And then all of a sudden, we saw a bounce last week, and then it all gave up on Friday. Which way are commodities heading in the next 6 months?
Quickly.
Well, the outlook is different for industrial metals and energy, in our opinion. So as far as industrial metals are concerned, we think that we could see them decline in the next 12 months, especially given that a big source of demand, which is China's real estate sector, is expected to be quite soft for the next 12 months. But as far as oil prices are concerned, we do expect WTI to bounce higher towards 110.
All right, Abhilash Narayan, Senior Investment Strategist at Standard Chartered Wealth Management. This is Bloomberg.